الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فيقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه رسالة في اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، قال: وهؤلاء بخلاف ذلك، أي هؤلاء الصوفية بخلاف ما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه رضي الله عنهم من تربية الناس وأمرهم بما فيه عقل ودين واستقامة.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Shaykh Rustam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned rahimahullah in his treatise about following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These individuals are contrary to that, meaning the Sufiyya that was in our previous discussion. They're contrary to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon and his companions from cultivating the people, the children and the youth upon that which is in accordance with the sound mind, and also upon steadfastness upon the religion, contrary to those to those deviant.
وكل أهل البدع ليس الصوفية فقط بل جميع أهل البدع.
Rather, all of the innovators, not just the Sufia, but all of the innovators, they are included.
ولذلك أهل السنة والجماعة دائما يقولون وسائل الدعوة توقيفية.
For this reason, the people of the Sunnah, أهل السنة والجماعة, they always say that the means for giving da'wah is توقيفية, meaning it's established and must have a proof and evidence in the Quran and Sunnah.
كيف تعلم الناس؟
How do you teach the people?
بماذا تبدأ في تعليم الناس؟
What do you begin with in education?
ما هي الطرق لتعليم الناس؟
What are the ways and the means to teach the people?
كل ذلك قد بينه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
All of this has been clarified by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
هؤلاء أهل الانحراف أتوا بأمر جديد.
These deviant individuals, they come with a new affair, new issue, new things.
ولذلك ضلوا وأضلوا.
For this reason, they went astray and led others astray.
ودعوا إلى أنفسهم.
And they called to their own selves.
وإلى أحزابهم.
And to their parties and groups.
وإلى البدع.
To innovation.
ولذلك يقول وهؤلاء بخلاف ذلك وعامة ما يبدونه من النار ونحوها مكر وحيلة. هنا يتكلم شيخ الإسلام عن ما يفعلونه أمام الناس حتى يظن الناس أن هذه كرامات، يحرقون أجسادهم، يطعنون أنفسهم، يمشون في النار، يفعلون أشياء خارقة للعادة، ويريدون أن يبينوا الناس أن هذه كرامة، وهذه أفعال السحرة والمشعوذين.
So these individuals are contrary to that, and most of what they display, such as fire-related acts and or similar phenomena, is mere trickery and deception. And he's saying here, Hafidhullah, that the Shaykh al-Islam is clarifying that what these people do, any from these different strange events and the likes like this, like playing with fire or stepping on fire or other amazing affairs, they do them in order to make people think that they're honored and they have a high status with Allah and that they're performing miracles by the permission of Allah to deceive and trick the people.
أعظم كرامة الاستقامة.
The greatest karama and miracle, the greatest favor and blessing.
لا تبحث عن كرامة.
Is to be steadfast upon obedience. Do not look for any other miracle or karama, honor from Allah.
قال وهؤلاء بخلاف ذلك وعامة ما يبدونه من النار ونحوها مكر وحيلة من جنس حيل الرهبان فإنهم يتوسلون بالطلق ودهن الضفادع أو ودهن الضفادع وماء النارنج إلى أن يصفوا أو يصفوا ذلك ثم يطلون به لحومهم وثيابهم فتصير على النار مدة طويلة من الزمان وكذلك يصنعون في دم الأخوين ونبت يقال له أم عربيل ما يظهرون به أن الدم يخرج من أحدهم وقت الوجد وكذلك اللاذن ونحوه وأضعاف ذلك واللاذن قيل هو يعني شيء يستخرج من النبات مثل الصمغ يستخدمونه يعني يعلك ومادة عطرية يعني تكون وفيها دواء نعم اللاذن ونحوه وأضعاف ذلك كفعل الرهبان على عوام النصارى حيلا أعظم من هذه. وللصالحين يعني النصارى عندهم أشد من الصوفية، والصوفية يضاهئون قول الذين كفروا من قبل، وهم يتبعون النصارى في ذلك ويتبعون من انحرفوا من قبلهم. نعم.
So these individuals are contrary to that in most of what they display, such as fire-related acts. Such as fire-related acts and similar phenomena is mere trickery and deceit, similar to the tricks of the monks. They use substances like sulfur and frog oil, and other bitter water to purify these materials, and then coat their skin and clothing with them, allowing them to withstand fire for extended periods of time. Similarly, they use mixtures made from sap of certain plants like dragon's blood and a plant known as Abril, to create the illusion of blood flowing from their bodies during moments of ecstasy. They also use substances like lathum and similar materials. The Shaykh mentioned this is like a sap that comes from a plant that has medical benefits and the likes like this. They use the likes of these materials. Such deceptions are many times over, resembling the tricks. They use them as tricks, and to make it appear like they're doing things, they're withstanding fire or other miracles or amazing things, when in reality it's just deception, resembling the tricks of the monks played upon the common folk of the Christians, which are even more elaborate than these. And meaning that the Christians, they're more severe in this deception and trickery than the Sufiya, but the Sufiya, they are imitating and resembling them and following the ways of the Christians.
قال وللصالحين كرامات معروفة من تسخير السباع والنار لهم وتكثير الطعام والشراب ودفع البلاء ومن المكاشفات وأنواع الخوارق للعادات في أبواب العلم وأبواب القدرة. لكن طريقة الصالحين طاعة الله ورسوله وملازمة الكتاب والسنة. إذن هذه الأمور التي تنتج لهم وتكون لهم وتحدث لهم بسبب طاعتهم لله وتمسكهم بالكتاب والسنة. قال وأقل أحوالهم الصدق والبر، كما أن علامة الفاجر الكذب والفجور. للصالحين كرامات، سفينة رضي الله عنه أحد الصحابة الذي سماه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وكان مولى للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، سماه سفينة لأنه كان يحمل متاع الناس وكان فيه قوة. فمرة من المرات ركب السفينة فتكسرت وتحطمت. قال فركبت لوحا منها حتى يعني خرجت إلى مكان فإذا بأسد أمامي، أسد. قال فقلت يا أبا الحارث، وهذه من الكنى التي يعني الأسد. الأسد له أسماء، العرب تسميه أبا الحارث، وكذلك قسورة، فرت من قسورة. القسورة هو الأسد. قال يا أبا الحارث أنا سفينة مولى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال فطأطأ رأسه، الحديث صحيح والأثر صحيح. قال فطأطأ رأسه وغمز بمنكبه فما زال يغمزني ويهديني إلى الطريق حتى وضعني على الطريق، حتى أوصلني إلى الطريق. قال ثم همهم بكلام، يعني همهم هكذا بصوت، قال كالمودع لي. هذه كرامة لهذا الصحابي رضي الله عنه. ومنه أيضا يا ساريها الجبل، عمر رضي الله عنه وهو يخطب على المنبر في المدينة، وسارية يعني في غزوة من الغزوات، الله عز وجل كشف لعمر رضي الله عنه، فإذا بالجيش يريد أن ينقض على هؤلاء الصحابة، فقال عمر يا ساريها الجبل، وهو على المنبر يقول، فسارية انتبه، سمع صوتا، قال فإذا بي التفت إلى الجبل فرأهم فقاتلهم فانتصر عليهم. فلما جاء سأله عمر يعني ماذا حدث، قال سمعت صوتك وأنت تقول يا ساري الجبل، فالتفت فرأيتهم. فهذا من الكرامات. هناك كرامات حدثت للصحابة رضي الله عنهم، نحن نؤمن بالكرامات، لكن الكرامة هذه تبع للاستقامة، ولذلك يقولون كرامات الأولياء دلائل الأنبياء أو معجزة الأنبياء، يعني هي تأييد للأنبياء لأن هذا على استقامة على دين. نعم، وكرامات كثيرة، ولكن العبرة أولا بأن تنظر أين هو من كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الاستقامة حتى تشهد له بأنها كرامة. نعم.
So Shaykh al-Islam, he said, rahimahullah, the righteous have well-known miracles. The righteous have well-known miracles, such as being protected from wild beasts and fire, and the manipulation, the multiplication of food and drink, and the warding off of calamities and various forms of extraordinary occurrences, including insights and acts that defy ordinary laws in matters of knowledge and ability. However, the way of the righteous is to obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adhering strictly to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. The least of their qualities is truthfulness and righteousness, just as the hallmark of the wicked is lying and immorality. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhullah, that the righteous and the pious, they have karamat. Karamat, it literally means it's a miracle, that one of a person will do something that normally could never happen. Something that will say it's a miracle that he did that, or this happened in his life, so on and so forth. These things are true and we believe in them. They happen for the righteous. But the key here is to identify that they're true miracles for the righteous by looking at the person. That does he follow and hold fast to the Quran and Sunnah, or is he contrary? So the one that's the karama and the true miracle from Allah Azza wa Jalla and honor from him is for those who are righteous that hold fast to the Quran and the Sunnah. Then the Shaykh, he mentioned some examples like Safina. Safina is one of the freed slaves of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They called him Safina, and he was means ship, the boat, because he used to be very strong, and he would carry the supplies, and on his back he could carry the supplies on his back. So they gave him the nickname Safina because he's always carrying the supplies and the likes. Actually, one time he was on a Safina. One time he was on a boat in the water, and then something happened and the boat went down. And he grabbed onto a board from the boat and it carried him to some land. And then from there he was on the land and suddenly a lion came. A lion came, and Safina radiallahu anhu, he spoke to the lion. He said, "Ya Abu Harith." And he calling the lion Abu Harith, which is one of the names of the lion. The lion, it has many names. Qaswara is from the names of the lion. Ghadanfara and the likes like this. The lion has many names in the Arabic language. From them, Abu Harith. So Safina, he said to the lion, and whenever the lion came to him now, and this is a very dangerous situation, he said, Ya Abu Harith, ana Safina. Mawla Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Oh lion, I'm Safina. My name is Safina, I'm the free slaves of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So that this time the lion, it lowered his head. And then started being kind and directing him. And the lion is moving along with him, directing him through the pathway all the way till he showed him the way out from where he's at. And then at that time he started making a sound as if he's giving him farewells, as if he's giving him farewell. So this is a true story. This is the narration that is authentic, and this is from the miracles that happened for this noble companion, radiallahu anhu, that this lion was made to be kind to him and to help him and to guide him in this manner like this. Also, a similar event happened with Umar, radiallahu anhu. One time he's on the minbar giving the khutbah, and he's giving a sermon. In the middle of the sermon, Allah showed him a battle that's occurring. Any one of the excursions was in a battle, and they're about to be ambushed and the likes like this. And Omar, he's seen this, and the battle is in a far-off land. In the middle of the khutbah, suddenly Omar was allowed to see this and in front of him. So he cried out, the mountain. And at this time in that land, the commander of that battle, he actually heard the voice. He actually heard the cry of Omar, and they looked to the side and they seen the other army coming, and they were able to protect themselves and have victory. Whenever they came back to Medina and they spoke with Umar radiallahu anhu, he asked them what happened. He said, "Suddenly I heard your voice calling out, and I looked over and there was the battalion was there, and we took our precautions and we got victory over them." So all of this is from the karamat, and from the amazing miracles that happens at the hand of the righteous. So the people of knowledge, they say that these miracles that happen at the hands of the righteous, they're in reality proofs
for the prophets and messengers and the miracles of the prophets and messengers, because these people, they only achieve these amazing events because of them following the prophets and messengers. So they're a proof for the miracles of the prophets and messengers. They're a proof for a miracle of the prophets and messengers. From the miracles of the prophets and messengers is that those who follow them truthfully, sometimes they'll be granted miracles. Sometimes they'll be granted miracles. But in any case, the point is to identify and to differentiate between the devilistic ways and deceptions of the deviant and from the true miracles that happen to the righteous, is to look at the one, is he holding fast to the Quran and Sunnah and to the obedience of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or not.
أهل السنة والجماعة لا يدعون إلى ما هم عليه بكراماتهم ويدللون على أنهم على حق لأن عندهم كرامة أو لأنه حصل لكذا فإذا أنا على حق. لا، أنت على الحق إذا كنت متمسكا بالكتاب والسنة، إذا كنت على الكتاب والسنة. لكن انظر أهل البدع، انظر مثلا التبليغ، هؤلاء يأتون إلى الناس فيذكرون قصصهم التي كثير منها قد تكون كذب وقد تكون فتنة لهم، ليدللوا على أنهم على حق. كنا في مكان وكنا منقطعين وكنا كذا فحصل لنا كذا، الله أكبر، إذا نحن على حق. لا، هذا قد يحصل لأناس فجار، هذا ما يدل. الدجال له خوارق، يضرب السماء فتمطر ويضرب الأرض تخرج كنوزها، هو دجال كذاب، وله جنة وله نار وله. العبرة يا إخوة ليس بالخوارق، ليس العبرة بهذه الأمور، العبرة بالثبات الكتاب والسنة. نعم، جزاك الله خير.
So the Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhullah, that the people of the Sunnah, they do not call the people of the Sunnah, they do not call the people to what they are upon from the truth by way of the miracles that happen to them. And they do not use these miracles that may happen to them sometimes as a proof that they're upon the truth and call to the people, call them to this. And this is contrary, but rather so the fact that a miracle occurred is not an evidence or a proof that a person is on the truth. Rather, the evidence is that a person is on the truth is by holding fast to the Quran and the Sunnah, holding fast to obedience. So if you look to the people of innovation, for example, Jamaat al-Tabligh, they tell stories many times, or one time we were here, one time we were there, this happened and that happened, and they use stories to make people believe that they're on the truth. And they'll tell stories of amazing things that happen. Sometimes they're lies, and other times they're just fitna or things that occurred and the likes like this, any trials to test the people by way of them. In any case, they use them as a proof that they're upon the truth. And so they say, look, this happened to us and we did this and we did that, so therefore we're on the truth. The people of the Sunnah, they don't do this. So the truth is not established by way of these miracles and amazing events that occur, but rather by holding fast to the Quran and the Sunnah and the obedience of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look to the Dajjal, the great liar, in the days, he's going to come and he's going to have many miracles, and he's going to have a Jannah, he's going to have a Nar, he's going to make it rain, he's going to make the earth, is going to produce crops and the likes like this. All of this is going to happen by the permission of Allah, miracles at his hands. So the fact that he does miracles is not a sign that he's upon the truth. So what is considered in this affair is not these miracles, but rather holding fast to the book and the Sunnah.
وليس من أيضا علامة أنك على الحق أن الناس سيستجيبون لك وأنهم يتبعون.
And also, it's not a sign that somebody's on the truth is that they follow you or you have a lot of followers. Or they accept your call.
يأتي النبي وليس مع واحد.
Oh, there's going to be a prophet coming on the day of resurrection. No one followed him.
أنبياء قتلوا.
Many prophets, they were killed.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مات ولم يشبع من خبز الشعير.
The prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he died and he was not full from wheat. He died hungry.
وقال اللهم حيني مسكينا. وأمتني مسكينا واحشرني في زمرة المساكين.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would supplicate, oh Allah, oh Allah, make me live any miskeen, poor, and raise me poor and amongst the poor.
إذن العلامة على أنك على الحق أن تكون مستقيما على الكتاب والسنة.
So therefore the sign that you're upon the truth is that you're steadfast and upright upon the Quran and the Sunnah.
ولو عشت عبدا مولى.
Even if you live as a slave.
هناك من الأنبياء من ذبح.
So there were some prophets that they were slaughtered.
وهناك من أهل الحق من ذبح.
And there were some followers from the people of truth, and they were slaughtered.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين هذا.
The Prophet, he clarified this, صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ممن كان قبلكم يؤتى بالرجل فيشق نصفين.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said there was individuals that came before you in the previous nations that he would be tried in his religion until he's sawed in half, two parts.
لا يرده ذلك عن دين الله.
And this would not turn him away from his religion.
النصر يا إخوة.
Aid, brothers, help from Allah.
النصر هو أن تعيش على هذا الحق.
Is that you live upon this
وأن
truth
تعمل به.
And that you apply. This is the help from Allah, that you live upon the truth and you apply it in your life.
والله عز وجل وعد بنصر من نصر الدين.
And Allah, He promised to help those who uphold His religion.
لكن لا بد أن نفهم ما هو النصر.
But we have to understand what is the nasr, what is the aid and support.
ليس النصر أن تملك الدنيا.
The having aid and help of Allah doesn't mean that you're going to have authority over the dunya.
ليس النصر أن تكون أغنى الناس.
It doesn't mean that you're going to be the richest of people.
ليس النصر أن تكون أنت الآمن ويعني من ناحية الدنيا والكافر هو الخائف.
Having the help of Allah doesn't mean that you're going to be in the worldly life safe and secure, and the disbeliever is going to be in terror and fright.
النصر أن تموت على هذا الدين وأنت ثابت عليه بإذن الله تعالى.
The help of Allah.
هذا أعظم نصر. انتصرت على شيطانك. انتصرت على هواك.
The help of Allah is that you live upon this deen and you die upon the truth, and this is the greatest help and aid from Allah, that Allah will help you and aid you over your devil and over your desires.
لأن هناك وعود كاذبة من من الجماعات الحزبية السياسية.
Because there are some false promises from the different political parties.
وهم ليسوا على دين صحيح.
And they're not following the religion, the proper religion.
ليس على اعتقاد صحيح.
They're not upon the proper creed.
وليس على عبادة صحيحة.
Or not upon proper worship.
ومع ذلك يضيفون هذه الوعود.
But along with that, they add all these promises for the people. This will happen for you, and that will happen for you.
وسنكون وسنكون وأننا لو فعلنا سيكون لنا.
If we do this and do that, we'll have this. We'll have that.
إذن يا إخوة لا تربط قلوب الناس بأنه سيكون لهم كذا أعبد ربك وأعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين.
So you don't connect the people's hearts. You don't connect.
هذه وظيفتك.
You don't connect the people's hearts to this is going to happen for you and that's going to happen for you. If you do this, this will happen for you. Rather, you just worship Allah. You worship Allah until you die. This is what you're required to do.
العبد لا يسأل سيده.
The slave, he doesn't ask his master.
ولا يعترض عليه.
He doesn't oppose the
يفعل.
Master. He does what the master orders.
لأنه هو المالك له.
Because he owns him.
فأنت تعبد الله عز وجل وتعمل وتقبل على العبادة وما يريده الله.
So you worship Allah عز وجل.
عشت فقيرا عشت مولى عشت سيدا.
And you worship Allah عز وجل. You fulfill His rights. You work. You do what you're required to do. And you worship Allah and fulfill the rights. And then whether you're going to be rich or wealthy, this is in the hands of Allah عز وجل. You worship Allah and take the means, and then Allah He will decree for you.
تسمع بعض الناس يقولون والله لو امتلأت المساجد لانتصرنا على الكفار والله لو من جبت هذا الكلام والله لو امتلأت المساجد ولو عشت 100 سنة على إذا ما أراد الله ما أراد الله وليس هذا يا إخوة هو دليل النصر وليس هذه وعود من أناس يزخرفون للناس ليس لا تقوم على أدلة شرعية
They say if the masjid will be full.
انظر الصحابة يخرجون من مكة ويضطهدون والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معهم. لو كان معك نبي وما أراد الله عز وجل أن ينصرك في ذاك الوقت ما ينصرك. خلاص هذه أقدار الله عز وجل، هذا يريده الله. هذه الدنيا يعطيها الله لمن أراد ومن لا يريد. هذا هو. لكن أنت أمرت أن تعبد، والتمكين الله عز وجل يمكن من يشاء ويعطي من يشاء سبحانه وتعالى. ولذلك انظروا الغلام، غلام سورة البروج قتل ونصره الله عز وجل بعد موته لأنهم كلهم أسلموا آمنوا. ولذلك شيخ الإسلام تيمية في كتابه تفسير آيات أشكلت في قوله عز وجل إنا لننصر رسلنا في الحياة الدنيا، إنا لننصر رسلنا في الحياة الدنيا ويوم يقوم الأشهاد. قال الرسل ذبحوا. بعض الناس يقول كيف إنا لننصر رسلنا والرسل قتلوا وذبحوا؟ قال شيخ الإسلام تيمية من مات على الحق فهو منصور، انتصر. المهم لأن الموت يأتي للجميع، ليس الموت يعني يأتي لفلان ولا يأتي لفلان. قال من مات على الحق. قال وانظر إلى الغلام كيف نصره الله عز وجل وقد مات، وجعل الله عز وجل الناس يؤمنون بعد ذلك بسم الله رب هذا الغلام، أسلموا كلهم وهو مات وذهب. فإذا النصر ليس لابد أن تنصر أنت. هذا شيخ الإسلام تيمي، شوف كم بيننا وبينه، قريب من 800 سنة. أليس هذا نصر؟ وهو مات مظلوم في القلعة محبوس، وكتبه ما انتشرت كما انتشرت في هذه الأزمنة. ابن تيمية الذي كانوا ينادون في دمشق وفي الشام من وجد عنده كتاب ابن تيمية اقتلوه، يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون. هذا ابن تيمية يدرس في أمريكا وفي آخر الدنيا. هذا محمد عبد الوهاب، هؤلاء العلماء. النصر لأنصرنك ولو بعد حين، لا تستعجل النصر. من استعجل الشيء قبل أوان عوقب بحرمانه. أنت أعبد ربك. ابن تيمية يكتب، الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله سجن في السجن الذي سجن فيه شيخ الإسلام تيمية، القلعة. يقول أول ما جاء أمر بسجن الشيخ الألباني، تصور إيش قال الشيخ مباشرة، بسرعة يا ولد، قال لي ولده بسرعة روح جيب لي صحيح مسلم وقلم ودفتر. قال فذهبت، ابنه يقول هذا منشور، قال فذهبت أعطيته صحيح مسلم ودفتر وقلم. قال واختصر صحيح مسلم كاملا، المختصر الموجود اختصره في السجن، وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت. لكن لو الشيخ يكتب حاشاه ثورات اخرجوا افعلوا، ماذا يستفيد؟ إراقة دماء. جعلني مبارك شيخ الإسلام تيمية في السجن، قالوا له ألا نخرج ألا كذا؟ لا، هذا دين، ما نخرج على ولاة الأمر. الإمام أحمد أفتن، أنا أهل السنة ما هم أهل فتن، أهل علم تعليم الناس ورحمة وهداية. نعم.
So the help and the aid of Allah Azza wa Jalla comes by following the religion properly and being obedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla, not by these false promises. And if you fill up the masjid, they say fill up the masjid. If we get the masjid full, then Allah will aid us and help us. All of this is false promises. Allah will help the Muslims whenever He decrees. This is in the hands and the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, not just getting people in the masjid or filling up the masjid and then the help it comes. Rather, this is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the true aid and support is that a person, he will live and die upon the sunnah. Even sometimes the aid will not be witnessed any until after the death of a person. For example, if you look at the young boy and the chapter Al-Buruj, Surah Al-Buruj, and he
حتى لا يفهم خطأ، لأنه قد يمتلئ المسجد ويمتلئ الناس في المسجد ثم لا ننصر ثم نترك، مثل الذي يقول دعوت فلم يستجب لي.
يعني maybe
for هذا الحديث مهم. قال يستجاب لأحدكم ما لم يقل دعوت فلم يستجاب لي. لا، أنت تدعو، أنت تدعو، والله عز وجل إن شاء استجاب وإن شاء أخر، وهناك حديث في ذلك، لكن أنت لا تستعجل.
يعني the point is that
وليس من شرط الدعاء أنه لا بد من الاستجابة.
يعني
تدعو فقط.
The point is they claim if the Muslims gather if the masjid would fill up then the help of Allah would come. The point that the Sheikh is trying to make is that maybe the masjid will fill up and the help of Allah won't come. So then the people will say, oh, we filled the masjid, but the help didn't come. Similar like those who make dua, and they say, oh, I made dua, but I didn't find a response. I made dua, but I didn't find a response. So the point is that the help of Allah comes whenever He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by what any of the people claim in the likes like this. So in any case, you see the young boy in the story of the king, the young boy and the king. And it was not till after his death that the aid came from him. Any meaning that the people all accepted Islam after he died. The people all accepted Islam after he died. So the help and the aid came after his death. It's something that he didn't witness. Sheikh al-Islam, he has interpretation of some verses that could be considered having problematic in the likes like this, or unclear, these unclear verses. The verses about how Allah promised to aid the messengers and those who are obedient. And then some people may say, well, the messengers, some of them they were slaughtered, some of them they were killed. How is Allah aiding and supporting them and granting them victory whenever they were slaughtered by their own people? So Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned that whoever dies upon the truth, and he is the one who is aided and supported. He is the one who is aided and supported. And this is because death, it comes to everybody, but not everybody dies upon the truth. So the young boy, and after his efforts and he died, then he was killed by the king. Then after that, the aid came from his efforts, and all the people, they accepted Islam and they worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal. So to have the aid and support doesn't mean that you necessarily will have aid and support. Whether if you look at Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in a prison. He was oppressed and he died confined and locked up. And in his days, there are people calling out in Damascus, and they're saying by the call of the ruler, anybody who has any of the books of Ibn Taymiyyah, that he should be killed. He should be killed. And he meaning that he was opposed and he was oppressed and many injustices were done to him. They burned his books. But after his death, look, all the way until now, here in America, we're studying the books of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. His great victory, great aid and support from his da'wah and his efforts. Likewise, Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. So the point is that you don't be hasty. You don't be hasty, say, oh, we did this and the help didn't come, so on and so forth. If you look, likewise, at Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was imprisoned in the same prison that Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was imprisoned in. It's mentioned whenever he first was imprisoned, Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he told his son, he said, bring me a Sahih Muslim, a pen and a notebook. Bring me Sahih Muslim, a pen and a notebook. And he did that, and the whole time Sheikh al-Albani was in prison, he summarized Sahih Muslim. And that's the beneficial authored work that we have now today, that you can buy in the store by Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, the Mukhtasar Sahih Muslim, the abridgment of Sahih Muslim. This is the efforts that he did and the benefit that he brought about while he was incarcerated. Rahimahullah, he summarized it from the beginning to the end. So you see, any the likes of the righteous and the people who are upon the correct path, then Allah makes them blessed wherever they are. You didn't see Sheikh al-Albani writing about making revolution and they're oppressing me and the rulers are doing this and calling to write revolution and spreading yani fitna and the likes like this. Even Imam Ahmed, likewise, whenever he was in prison, they asked him, yani, should we go against the rulers? Should we uprise against the rulers for what they're doing to the people of the Sunnah, so on and so forth? He said, no, this is against the Sunnah. So the aid and the help, it comes yani, by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
يعني الآية إنا لننصر رسلنا والذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا ويوم يقوم الأشهاد. ارجعوا إلى هذا الكتاب تفسير آيات أشكلت. هذا كتاب مهم، لا سيما من يستطيع يعني قراءته فإنه يستفيد منه. والإشكال هو يكون في الذهن، وليس الإشكال في الآيات ولا في الأحاديث. الاستشكالات دائما تكون في الأذهان والأفهام.
So the Sheikh, he mentioned to go back to this work by Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Tafsir Ayat مشكلات يعني
أشكلت
تفسير آيات أشكلت. The verses, the explanation of the verses that any that's mushkil means it's problematic. But the Shaykh is clarifying, but the problematic that the misunderstanding is in the minds, not in the text, not in the text. It's the person, he has a misunderstanding or it's a problem in his understanding of how he perceives the text. So Shaykh al-Islam, he interpreted these and clarified those problems and removed those doubts. So if you are able to find this work and to study and to read it, then this is advised.
قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بالصدق فإن الصدق يهدي إلى البر وإن البر يهدي إلى الجنة ولا يزال الرجل يصدق ويتحرى الصدق حتى يكتب عند الله صديقا وإياكم والكذب فإن الكذب يهدي إلى الفجور وإن الفجور يهدي إلى النار ولا يزال الرجل يكذب ويتحرى الكذب حتى يكتب عند الله كذابا وهكذا قال الله تعالى قل نعم قل أنبئكم على من تنزل الشياطين تنزل على كل أفاك أثيم هذا كله متعلق بما يعني سبق أن الفرق بين الصدق الكرامات الصادقة والكرامات الكاذبة والعبرة الثبات على الحق ومن كان على الحق نعم.
The author, he says, Rahimahullah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, adhere to truthfulness, for truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to paradise. A man continues to speak the truth and strive for truthfulness until he is recorded with Allah as a truthful person. And beware of lying, for lying leads to immorality, and immorality leads to the fire. A man continues to lie and strive in lying until he is recorded with Allah as a liar. And similarly, Allah the Most High, He says in the Quran, shall I, the meaning of which is, shall I inform you upon whom the devils descend? They descend upon every sinful liar. So this is related to that which has preceded, clarifying the difference between the righteous and the evil and the wicked, and that which is considered is firmness and steadfastness upon obedience, upon the religion.
قال فأخبر أن الشياطين تنزلوا على الكذاب في قوله الفاجر في فعله كما كانت تنزل على المتنبئين الكذابين مثل الأسود العنسي ومسيلمة الكذاب والمختار بن أبي عبيد حتى قالوا لابن عمر أو لابن عباس رضي الله عنهما إن المختار يزعم أنه تنزل عليه أنه ينزل عليه فقال صدق ثم قرأ هل أنبئكم على من تنزل الشياطين تنزل على كل أفاك أثيم يعني يقال أنه تتنزل عليه وقال نعم الله عز وجل أخبرنا أنها تتنزل الشياطين على الكذابين أيضا كما أن يعني الملائكة ينزلون بالوحي فالشياطين ينزلون أيضا بالكذب والفجور على قلوب هؤلاء قالوا وقالوا لآخر إنه يزعم أنه يوحى إليه ثبت عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما ما قيل له أن مسيلمة يقول أنه يوحى إليه فقال صدق قال ثم اغتلى قول الله عز وجل وإن الشياطين ليوحون إلى أوليائهم هذا مثله من لما جاءوا إلى أمنا عائشة رضي الله عنها فقيل لها إن أناس يقولون لست أما لهم فقالت صدقوا فإني أم المؤمنين ولست أم المنافقين نعم.
Then he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, Allah has informed that devils descend upon the liar in his speech and the sinner in his actions, just as they descend upon false prophets like al-Aswad al-Anasi, ومسيلمة الكذاب, the liar, and Muqtar ibn Abi Ubaid. It was even reported that someone said to Ibn Umar or Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum that al-Muqtar, he claims that revelation descends upon him. And he replied, that's right, he spoke the truth. And then he recited the meaning of which is, shall I inform you upon whom the devils descend? They descend upon every sinful liar. And they said to another person, he claims that revelation is sent to him. It's mentioned that this was Musaylimah, al-Kadhab, claiming that he received revelation. And then they said to him, he spoke the truth. And he's, yeah, that's right, he's being truthful. And indeed, the devils they inspire their allies, any meaning they reveal revelation to their allies. So just as the angels descend with revelation, the devils, they descend with lies and deception. They descend with lies and deception. This is similar to what has come from our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, that some of them that came to her and they said, "You're not our mother. You're not our mother." And she said, "That's right. I'm the mother of the believers, not the mother of the hypocrites."
قال فمن كان من أتباع الكذابين المتنبئين فإن أولئك كان يظهر عليهم أشياء والساحر والمشعبذ يفعل أشياء فإذا جاءت عصا الشريعة المحمدية ابتلعت ما صنعه الخارجون عنها من السحر المفترى كما قال سبحانه ولا يفلح الساحر حيث أتى وهذا كما أخبر سبحانه وتعالى وأوحينا إلى موسى أن ألقي عصاك فإذا هي تلقف ما يفكون فوقع الحق لما ألقى عصاه أكلتها وأكلت عصيهم وحبالهم نعم وأكلت حبالهم فوقع الحق وبطل ما كانوا يعملون فغلبوا هنالك وانقلبوا صاغرين وهذه علامة لأهل الحق دائما أن الله عز وجل ينصرهم بالحجة والبيان وإن جندنا لهم الغالبون نعم.
And then the author he mentioned
رحمه الله والنصر بالحجة والبيان أعظم من النصر بالسيف والسنان.
Whoever follows the false prophets and liars, they are among those who exhibit strange occurrences. Sorcerers and deceivers also perform certain acts. However, when confronted with the staff of the Muhammadan Sharia, and in the legislation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it nullifies and swallows up what the deviants produced of fabricated magic, as Allah says, the meaning of which is, but the magician will never succeed, no matter where he comes from, no matter whatever he does. And so the Shaykh is referring to here the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever Allah ordered him to throw his staff. So the magicians, they came with magic, and then Musa, he came with the truth, and their magic was swallowed up and destroyed and could not face the truth that was revealed to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So he clarified the falsehood of the magicians and the people they seen that in plain day. So the truth and the people of the truth were granted victory, and the people of falsehood, they were humiliated. So this is the clarification here. The people, Allah Azza wa Jal, He aids the people of truth with clarification and with proof and evidence. And to be aided by way of proof and evidence is better and greater than being aided by the sword or the weapon.
قال وقد يفضل شيخه على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم غلوا فيه كما غلت النصارى في المسيح ابن مريم عليه السلام وغلت الرافضة في علي رضي الله عنه بل الغالية من النصارى والرافضة أعذر من هؤلاء الغالية في بعض المشايخ المسلمين كبعض المنتسبين إلى الشيخ أحمد الرفاعي والشيخ عدي أو الشيخ يونس يعني أولا معلوم أن هذه الأمة قد أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنها تتبع سنن من كان قبلها يعني المقصود بالشر ولو دخلوا جحر ضب لدخلتموه قالوا اليهود والنصارى رسول الله قال فمن أو فمن القوم يقول رحمه الله الرافضة غلوا في آل البيت النصارى غلوا في عيسى عليه السلام هؤلاء غلوا الصوفية غلوا في الفسقة والفجرة يعني كثير من هؤلاء الذين ينتسبون إلى التصوف فسق أو فجر يعني بلغوا من الفسوق والفجور الشيء العظيم وهذا الذي شيخ الإسلام محمد عبد الوهاب في كشف الشبهات نص عليه قال يعني أن المتصوفة وعباد هؤلاء القبور جاءوا بما هو أشر في الغلو بأنهم لا يغلون في الصالحين بل غلوا حتى في الفاسقين ويذكرون فسقهم ويغلون فيهم كان رحمه الله يخطب الناس عريانا هكذا يفتخرون بذا، كان يفعل بالبهائم، هذا في كتبهم. وطبقات الصوفية الشعراني يذكرون يتفاخرون بأناس مجرمين خبثاء، ولذلك بلغوا من المنزلة والانحطاط والخبث الشيء العظيم، شيء من أقبح ما يكون. يعني الغلو في الصالحين يسيرهم أربابا من دون الله، لكن تغلو في الفاسقين وتعبدهم من دون الله، هذا الشيء ما كان أبدا. ولذلك حتى اليهود والنصارى ما يرون ذلك. هل رأيتم يهودي مثلا أو نصراني يأتي بمثلا أمور فسقية في رجل وخبث ثم يلمع؟ ما تجد هذا الشيء. ولذلك شيخ الإسلام، وأيضا شيخ الإسلام محمد بن الوهاب رحمه الله، ينبه على هذه الأمور، أن الصوفية بلغوا من الانحطاط والخبث الشيء العظيم، حتى إنهم أظهروا أناس فسقة وفجرة. يعني أحمد الرفاعي هذا ذكر من فجوره وفسوقه الأمر العظيم، ويجعلونه حج، يحجون قبر أحمد الرفاعي كما أنهم يذهبون للحج يعني عند بيت الله الحرام والمشاعر. طيب ليته رجل صالح، نقول يعني هؤلاء إذن عبدوا حتى غير الصالحين. أما عدي بن المسافر فإنه من الصالحين، هذا عدي يعني عدي بن المسافر، وكذب يعني كذبوا عليه أمور كثيرة، مثل عبد القادر الجيلاني ويونس، يونس أيضا القيني، هذا يونس القيني يعني يذكره شيخ الإسلام، ولا يعني ما أعرف يعني ما هي طبقته، ولكن عموما هناك ناس صالحين وهناك طالحين سيئين، وهؤلاء يعبدون يعني من كان يعبد آباؤهم، سواء كان صالحا أو طالحا أو فاسقا أو فاجرا. حتى بعضهم يقول ما رأيناه يصلي قط، وهذا يدل على أنه إمام من أئمة المسلمين، لأنه سقطت عنه تكاليف مبكرا. هذا مثل ما يقول لك وحاشاه، يعني الجمع يعني بين المثالين، قال يقول لك هاجر الهجرتين أو من الأقدام، يعني ما لحقوا عليه وهو يصلي، يعني هذا دليل أنا أنه سقطت عنه التكاليف من قديم. حتى قيل أنه يعني ما رؤية أو ما توضى 40 سنة، هكذا من مشايخهم يمدحونهم، ما اغتسل أيضا من عشرات السنين، يعني هذا عفن وشيء وسخ. وأكرمكم الله، ذلك شيخ الإسلام ابن القيم رحمه الله دائما يقول نعوذ بالله من الكفر العفن أو النتن، هكذا يقول الكفر النتن على بعض الأمور التي حتى اليهود النصارى يستقذرونها. ألم يقول عبد الله المبارك إننا نستطيع أن نقول أن نتكلم بقول اليهود والنصارى ولا نستطيع أن نتكلم بقول الجهمية، أنه لا رب في السماء؟ الجهمية تقول لا رب في السماء، قال نستطيع أن نذكر كلام اليهود والنصارى، ما نستطيع أن نذكر كلام الجهمية من خبثه. نعم، نسأل الله السلامة والعافية.
The author he mentioned, rahimahullah, some may prefer their sheikh over the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of excessive veneration, just as the Christians exaggerated in their regard for Christ, the son of Mary, from Isa, and the Rafidah exaggerated in their regard for Ali, radiallahu anhu. In fact, the exaggeration of the Christians and the Rafidah is more excusable than that of those who venerate some Muslim sheikhs, such as those associated with Sheikh Ahmed Rifai, and Sheikh Adi and Sheikh Yunus.
يعني نريد الآن المقارنة بين الشر، يعني أيهما أشر، ليس معنى ذلك مدح.
And there's no praise here. This is a comparison. Which one is more evil? All of them are evil, but which one is more severe in their evil?
هذا مثل الذي عبد الحسين والذي عبد عيسى عليه السلام. So عيسى عليه السلام نبي.
The one who worships Hussein. The one who worships Hussein and the one who worships Isa. Jesus is a prophet, he's much better and virtuous, but Allah declared both of them to be disbelievers. So here the Shaykh, he mentioned that Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has informed us that this ummah is going to follow the ways of those before. Yani the narration is well known that indeed you're going to follow the path of those before, until even if one of them goes into the hole of a desert lizard, then you will go in there likewise. So this is the Jews and the Christians. So there are people. There will be people from this ummah who follow the ways of those previous nations precisely. So here the issue is that the Rafidah, they went to extremes with the household, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as for the Nasara, then they went to extremes with Isa, with Jesus, who is the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. As for some of these Sufiya that we're discussing now, they went to extremes with individuals who are foul and lowly and wicked. They're not even themselves righteous, and they're great sinners, and people who perform many indecent and lewd acts, and they have taken them as objects of worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is something that Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned directly in his book Kashf al-Shubuhat, that these people, these Sufiya and the likes, these grave worshippers, they came with that which is worse than the previous people. Yani because they're not worshipping righteous, rather they're worshipping the wicked and the evil, and the individuals who do lowly and indecent acts. And these are things that are recorded in their very own works. You will find that one of them will be talking about his sheikh, and you will read this in their books, and he will say, oh, may Allah have mercy on our sheikh so-and-so, he used to give the khutbah whenever he's naked. And the other one he will say about, oh, so-and-so, yeah, so-and-so, he used to have sexual relationship with animals. Yani he used to have intercourse with animals and likes like that. And they consider this an amazing event and a sign that he is on a high status of piety. These are considered praises for them. And so they're doing these filthy and lowly things, and then they raise them in this manner, and then whenever they die, they worship them besides Allah. Or they were even in their lifetime in the likes like this. So they have surpassed in their filth and their misguidance and their deviation. They surpassed even the Jews and the Christians. And they surpassed even the Rafidah. Because if you look at it, any of the Rafidah, they, although no doubt that's foul and shirk, but that's with righteous people. The family of the Prophet, the Christians, they commit shirk likewise, but that's with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. As for these people are committing these actions of shirk with the filthy and the low lives, the people who commit atrocious and hideous actions that everyone realizes is foul and lowly. That is foul and lowly. So the Sufiya, they have reached a level that surpasses others in this deviation, this misguidance, and this extremism, and the likes like this. The one that he's mentioning here, Ahmed Rafa'i, it's mentioned about this person that he himself, he was a wicked, foul, he did many lowly and hideous things, and they raise him and they raise him to a high level. Now they worship him in his grave. They make hajj to his grave like they make hajj to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this person himself, he was corrupt and wicked. He's corrupt and wicked. As for this one other one that's mentioned here, Adi ibn Musafir, he was actually a righteous person who they fabricated lies against, and they went to extremes with him, similarly to what happened to Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jailani. And the people ascribed lies to him, and then in the end worshipping besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worshipping him besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people, they have reached a level of filth and a level of misguidance that has surpassed even those previous people. And that one of them, they will say about their sheikh that we never seen him pray in his life. I never seen him pray one time in his life. Meaning that from an early age, he had reached a high level where he doesn't have to pray anymore. And they're praising him in this manner. That I never seen him pray in his life. And meaning that, man, he's so righteous and pious. One of them, he'll say that I pray in Mecca. They say, why don't you pray with us? He said, oh, no, I pray, but I prayed in Mecca. But he doesn't live in Mecca. And he says, when you prayed in the masjid, I prayed in Mecca. Yeah, but then they say, for example, another one. These people like this. And this is like, for example, in the righteous, when you hear the biographies of the companions, for some of you say, oh, he made both migrations, and he migrated to Habesha and he migrated to Medina. And he mentioning his virtuous deeds. They mention these people's virtuous deeds. He doesn't pray anymore. One of them, they will say that this man, he didn't make wudu in such and such years, and he hasn't made wudu in 40 years. He never made wudu in 40 years. Or he never took a ghusl in like 50 years, 40 years, and the likes like this. And he never took a bath. And meaning he's filthy. He's filthy. He's dirty and stinky, and the likes like this. Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, used to say, we seek refuge with Allah from the hideous disbelief, from the filthy disbelief. You know, the one that's putrid. And that has a foul odor. And these people have reached a foul and lowly level in misguidance and deviation and extremism. Until they stand, for example, like this as well. Ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, he says, about this. He said we're able to narrate or mention the statements of the Jews and Christians, any of the deviation that they have fallen into, but we're not able to narrate the statements of the Jahmiyyah because of how hideous and lowly it is.
قال لأنهم يقولون ليس في السماء إله.
Because they say there's no God in the heavens.
ثم حصل هنا يعني سقط يقول أنه لا توجد بعض ورقات ولكن قال له في الصيام كأنه انتقل إلى الكلام عن أهل الحق عن صفاتهم وهي مغايرة لصفات البعض ولا بد من التميز والتمايز عن أهل الباطل لا بد تعرف أنك على الحق لا بد أن تتميز من أهل الباطل ولا بد أن يظهر ذلك التميز أما أن يكون إنسان في خندق واحد مع أهل الباطل ثم يظن على أنه على الحق والسنة هذا ما يصير أبدا
here with the
author, لا بد أن يكون هما في الشرق أنت في الغرب بعيدين
The author here is moving on to another topic. There's some missing, and there's a point, there's some parts missing here, and Allah knows best here. What is intended is that the author is moving on now to discuss about the descriptions of the people of truth. So this is very important to pay attention to the people of truth and their descriptions. And it's incumbent for the Muslims, the believers, to be distinguished. To be distinguished, and that distinguishment is apparent. And to be distinguished from the people of falsehood, from the people of innovation, the people of misguidance, the deviation. To be distinguished from them, and that distinguishment is apparent. You're not going to find yourself in the same trench with them and then think that the people are going to identify you or to be distinguished from you or that you're not with them. No. The people of misguidance and deviation, the people of desires, they must be on the east and you be on the west. You must be completely separate and different from them and distinguished from them apparently and clearly.
قال له في الصيام وبعضهم في الصدقة وبعضهم في العلم وبعضهم في الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر إلى أنواع أخرى مع اتفاق قلوبهم واجتماع كلمتهم هؤلاء أهل الحق واعتصامهم بحبل الله تعالى كما قال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون وقد يتنازعون في بعض أمور الدين يعني أهل الحق قد يتنازعون ولكن العبرة في الرجوع إلى الحق قال فإذا تنازعوا في شيء من ذلك ردوه إلى الله تعالى ورسوله والكتاب والسنة كما أمر الله عز وجل ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وليس أحد بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتبع كل ما يقوله ويفعله بل كل أحد يؤخذ من قوله وفعله ويترك إلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه الإمام الذي فرض الله طاعته وأوجب متابعته وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في خطبته إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وإن خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل بدعة ضلالة فمن اتبع رجلا غير الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في كل أقواله انتبه لهذا الكلام في كل أقواله وأفعاله معرضا عن الكتاب والسنة أو غلا في محبة بعضهم وتعظيمه حتى جاوز به حده وفضله على نظرائه تفضيلا كثيرا بلا بينة فهو مضاهن للنصارى الذين قال الله في حقهم اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله الآية وقال تعالى ما كان لبشر أن يؤتيه الله الكتاب والحكم والنبوة ثم يقول للناس كونوا عبادا لي من دون الله ولكن كونوا الآية وقال تعالى قل ادعوا الذين زعمتم من دون الله الآية وقال تعالى قل يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم فإن الله تعالى ذم النصارى جزاك الله خير فإن الله تعالى ذم النصارى بكونهم غلوا في الأنبياء والعلماء والعباد حتى جاوزوهم حدهم فعبدوهم حيث أطاعوهم فيما ابتدع الأحبار والرهبان من الدين وحللوا لهم الحرام وحرموا عليهم الحلال. هكذا فسره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في حديث عدي بن حاتم. نعم قال: واعتقدوا في المسيح نوعا من الإلهية واعتقدوا في المسيح نوعا من الإلهية وضاهاهم على ذلك من اعتقد في علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه وغيره من الأئمة أو بعض الأنبياء. هذه يضاهون يعني أنهم يشابهون، يضاهون يعني كما قال الله عز وجل يضاهون قول الذين كفروا من قبل، يعني يشابهون. قال: حتى إنهم سجدوا لهم أحياء وأمواتا ويرغبون إليهم في قبورهم في جلب المنافع ودفع المضار كما كان المشركون يرغبون إلى آلهتهم. ولهذا قال سبحانه وتعالى: قل ادعوا الذين زعمتم من دونه فلا يملكون كشف الضر عنكم ولا تحويلا أولئك الذين يدعون يبتغون إلى ربهم الوسيلة أيهم أقرب ويرجون رحمته ويخافون عذابه إن عذاب ربك كان محذورا. قال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه وغيره: كان أقوام، تفسير هذه الآية، كان أقوام يدعون عزيرا والمسيح والملائكة، فقال الله تعالى: هؤلاء الذين تدعون يتقربون إلى الله، هم يعبدون الله عز وجل كما تتقربون إليه ويرجون الله ويخافونه، لماذا تعبدون من دون الله؟ كما قال بعض الفقراء: إن بعض الفقراء أوصاه عند موته، الفقهاء، نعم، كما قال بعض الفقهاء: إن بعض الفقراء أوصاه عند موته: إذا كان لك حاجة أو أمر مهم أو ضيق استوحني أو استوحي بي. نعوذ بالله من الشرك والضلال، وهم لا يملكون كشف الضر عنهم ولا تحويله، كما قال سبحانه: قل ادعوا الذين زعمتم من دون الله لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض وما لهم فيهما من شرك وما له منهم من ظهير ولا تنفع الشفاعة عنده إلا لمن أذن له. قال تعالى: من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه؟ وقال تعالى: ولا يشفعون إلا لمن ارتضى. نعم.
Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned here some excel, and he describing some of the rights, the attributes of the righteous here. Some excel in fasting, some in charity, some in knowledge, and some in enjoining good and forbidding evil, among other types of deeds. While their hearts are united, their words are in agreement, and they hold firmly to the rope of Allah, as Allah Almighty said. O you who have believed, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die except as Muslims, and hold firmly to the rope of Allah altogether, and do not become divided. And remember the favor of Allah upon you when you were enemies, and He brought your hearts together, and you became by His favor brothers, and you were on the edge of a pit of fire, and He saved you from it. Thus does Allah make clear to you His verses that you may be guided. He mentioned, rahimahullah, they may differ in some matters of religion, and they may differ, and whenever they differ in anything, they refer it back to Allah and His Messenger, to the Quran and to the Sunnah, as Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam have commanded. And so if they differ, they may differ in certain issues, and if they do, they take it back to the book and the Sunnah as Allah and His Messenger have ordered sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No one after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to be followed in everything they say and do. Rather, every person's words and actions may be accepted or rejected, except for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is the leader whom Allah has obligated obedience to and made him made it mandatory to follow him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say in his sermon, "The most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the worst of matters are newly invented ones, and every innovation is misguidance." So here we have to pay attention. The author, he says, whoever follows a person other than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in all his statements and actions, turning away from the Quran and the Sunnah, or goes to extremes in loving and venerating someone exceeding the proper limits, and favors him greatly over his peers without evidence, is akin to the Christians about whom Allah said, and they are resembling the Christians in these affairs. Then Allah, He said, the meaning of which is, and they have taken their scholars and monks as lords besides Allah. And Allah, He says, it is not for a human, meaning a prophet, that Allah should give him the scripture, authority, and prophethood, and then he would say to the people, be servants to me rather than Allah. But instead he would say, be pious scholars of the Lord because of what you have taught the script, because of what you have taught of the scripture, and because of what you have studied. He said, "The Most High say, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, call upon those whom you claim as gods besides Allah." And he said, "Say, O people of the scripture, do not exceed limits in your religion." Shaykh al-Islam, he says, rahimahullah, Allah the Most High condemned the Christians for their excessive veneration of prophets, scholars, and devout worshippers, exceeding their proper limits until they worshipped them by obeying them in what the rabbis and monks innovated in their religion. They permitted for them what was forbidden and forbade them what was lawful. This is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interpret this. And this is as has been mentioned in the hadith of Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu. They also attributed a form of divinity to Isa, imitating them in this as those are those who attribute a form of divinity to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And they resemble them in the same issue, in the same affair, to other imams or to some of the prophets. Likewise, others attributed a form of divinity to certain sheikhs, to the extent that they prostrate to them, both in their lifetimes and after their deaths. They sought their aid at their graves and bring benefits and to ward off harm, just as the polytheists sought such aid from their idols. And for this reason, the Most High, he says, the meaning of which is, and say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, call upon those you claim as gods besides him. They do not possess the ability to remove adversity from you or to change it. Those they invoke seek means of access to their Lord, striving as to which of them would be nearest, and they hope for his mercy and they fear his punishment. Indeed, the punishment of your Lord is ever feared. The Shaykh, he says, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and others, they say that there were, in their interpretation of this verse, there were people who used to invoke Uzair and Isa and the angels and Allah the Almighty. He said, those whom you invoke, and they themselves seek a means of nearness to Allah, as you seek nearness to him, and they hope for his mercy and they fear him. And that if those whom they're calling on, they themselves call and worship Allah alone, then why are you worshiping them for? The people you're worshiping, they worship Allah. So why are you worshiping them for? Why don't you worship Allah alone? So this is just as some of the jurists have mentioned. One of the sheikhs advised someone before his death. One of the sheikhs, the so-called sheikhs, advised someone before his death, saying, if you have a need or an important matter or a matter of distress, then seek my assistance and seek assistance and aid through me. The Shaykh, he says, we seek refuge. The author, he says, rahimahullah, we seek refuge with Allah from shirk and misguidance. They have no power to remove harm nor to even shift it. As Allah, the Most High, he says, call upon those you claim as gods besides Allah. They do not possess an atom's weight in the heavens or on the earth, and they do not have any share in them, nor is there for him among them any assistant, no one to help him. And intercession does not benefit with him except for the one he permits. And Allah the Most High said, the meaning of which is, who is it that can intercede with him except by his permission? And Allah the Most High, he says, and they cannot intercede except for him with whom he is pleased.
نسأل الله عز وجل أن يحفظنا وإياكم وأن يبارك فينا وفيكم والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك ونعم العبد ورسول محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين